Grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Let's give God's Word first place in our heart and in our mouth. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I have a gift for you this morning. So, ushers, if you'll come forward, we have some treats for you. I'm going to use it as an illustration. I'm going to be passing chocolate out to you right now, everybody. Oh, now you get spiritual. Now everybody's happy. Okay, go ahead and start passing those out over the next few minutes. I need you to take one of each. I need you to take one of each. You're like, oh, you need me to? Yes, I need you to. I need you to take a white chocolate and a dark chocolate. And don't eat it yet, because I'm going to use it a little later as part of an illustration. Okay, so you must practice self-control. All right. Open up your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Exodus, chapter 40. I don't know if that was for the Bible or the chocolate, but it sounded like you're pretty excited. We're talking about encountering God, the life of the believer, the church when we gather. The presence of God is the proof of the reality of God in our lives. I want to put to you today, again, we've been on this journey of a very academic way of thinking, and I think that's wonderful and that's amazing. But I want to put to you this morning that the best proof we have is that God is our ever-present help in our times of need, that He is with me. Amen. He promised He would never leave us or forsake us. I'm also going to help you today see that perhaps you've been encountering God multiple times a day, because I believe that's the will of God, that it is not the once in a lifetime you get a miracle. Once in a lifetime, maybe God has something to say to you. Maybe you have this special moment. You know, that's kind of the old way people think in religious circles, where there's one spiritual person in church and they have time with God and all of us kind of have to wait to heaven. I want you to see that the will of God and what you experience as the believer is this constant reality of God. This is not just theology, it's not just doctrine, but on a daily basis, God is interrupting and invading our everyday life, whether it's at school, it's at home, it's in the workplace, it's in church. God cannot be contained into one building, because you're the church and He's with you wherever you go. Amen. I want you to see here, an encounter with God changes us forever. You know, when God speaks to us, when we get a moment, a special moment with God, it can truly transform and change our lives forever. You can go through the Bible and you see people who had encounters with God. People like Abraham, who was a pagan worshiper, worshiped idols, and his family knew nothing about God, and yet he had an encounter with God. The Lord spoke to him and began to reveal His nature to him. Abraham became the father of Israel and the children of God. We call him the father of faith today, all because of an encounter with God. God completely transformed his life. You have people in the Bible like the Apostle Paul, who used to be Saul, who was out bent on murdering and killing and destroying Christians, and one encounter with Jesus took a murderer and turned him into a man of God, which is pretty powerful. I'm telling you, an encounter with God, the presence of God in our churches and in our lives, that's the proof. It's not stories, not fiction. You know, with Jesus, anyone that came to Jesus for healing walked away healed, praise God. Think about the lepers. You know, these lepers in the New Testament, they would come and leprosy would eat away the human body and they would lose body parts and all kinds of things. And yet when they met Jesus, they started the day with a death sentence. And after they met Jesus, they had a hope and a future. The Lord healed them. The Lord would restore them, made them whole, the Bible says, which means if there was anything missing about their bodies, He put it back, which I think is pretty awesome. Encounters with God change our lives. They're the proof that these aren't just stories or nice theologies or doctrines. In Exodus, and don't worry, I haven't forgot about the chocolate. I'll get to it. I'm teaching you patience now. In Exodus chapter 40, I want to paint a picture for you about God's will, God's nature, God's desire to be among His people, to be frequently there, to be constantly there, for you to be able to see God in the morning, in the noonday, in the evening, in the midnight hour. That for the life of the believer, the encounters with God, the presence of God, the power of God, the goodness of God is a constant. That's the testimony. That's what the world sees. Beyond all of our arguments that we can argue, a life filled with the reality and the presence of God. Matter of fact, this has been God's will. I don't know where religion got off to make people think that God was just in a little sacred place and one or two people might encounter him and we just get to hear their stories. The will of God has always been to be with his people. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, God's desire was to walk with his people all day long, to be with us, to be with us, to be with us and upon us. Greatest testimony. Even with the children of Israel, this is right after they come out of Egypt. Egypt was a type of the world, the children of God, Israel there. They were in slavery, bondage under Pharaoh, who was a taskmaster, type of the devil in that picture. And God delivers them out. God sets them free out of Egypt, brings them into the wilderness. And in that wilderness, he tells Moses, who's their leader, he says, build a tabernacle. That tabernacle is a picture of Jesus. It's a picture of the redemption plan, of the forgiveness that we would have, the grace of God, the presence of God. And it was right smack dab in the middle of all the tents where the people would live and dwell. Right in the middle of God's people. See, because that's where God likes to be. Right in the middle of our lives. Amen. Not off to the side, not out in some place separate from us. God wants to be all up in our lives and business. And I think that's awesome. That's his nature. That's who he is. And that's the realness of God that we talk about today. So here's a picture of that tabernacle in Exodus chapter 40, verse 34. Then the cloud, now that cloud isn't an ordinary cloud. This is the cloud of the presence of God, covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because of that cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up or moved on over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set on out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they did not set out until the day when it was taken up, for throughout all of their journeys, the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and there was a fire in it by night in the sight of all the house of Israel. I want you to see in that passage of scripture that God wanted to be real among them. God wanted to be evident. God wanted to be seen. God doesn't want to be a mystery to us. We have multiple encounters with God on consistent basis, testimony after testimony of his goodness. God's fingerprints should be all over our lives. That's Christianity. That's the church. You know, I think about why did God manifest himself like a cloud in that tabernacle? My belief is for the people's sake, not for his sake. It's not like God just wanted to show off in a cloud, but he knew something. He knew his people needed to know he was with them in the middle of their wilderness, in the middle of people attacking them, in the middle of their journey. They needed to be able to know and see, God didn't leave me. God is right here. When I pop my head out of my tent in the morning, he's there. When I eat lunch in the afternoon, God's still there. I can see him there in the evening when he put a fire in the middle of that cloud to make sure that people could still see. It's like God saying, I just want you to be sure when you go to bed at night, I'm still here watching you. I'm still here taking care of you. That's God. That's the nature of God. God wanted them to see him every day, not once in a while. It wasn't some little quick visitation and poof, he's gone. And it's like, well, we sure hope we see God again one day. There was a consistency. There was a trust that God was building. Are you understanding this? This is who we are as believers. This is why we have multiple experiences with God. I'm going to help you understand what an encounter with God looks like. And by the time we're done, I believe God's going to help you see so many times that the cloud or the presence or who God is has been in your life. When you wake up in the morning, he's been right there. When you're at lunch, he's been right there. Before you go to bed at night, God is right there. God will not leave you or forsake you. And that is the greatest testimony of the reality of God. He is not hard to find. He is not hard to find. He is right there with you in the middle of whatever it is you're going through. Open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, no, I have not forgotten about the chocolate. No man knows the day or the hour but me. I know when you're going to be able to eat that chocolate. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to talk to you about how God has set certain gifts into the church. You know, back then, you know, the children of Israel had to go to the tabernacle or to the temple and the presence of God was there. But you know, today the Bible says, do you not know that you're the temple of the living God. You're the temple of the Spirit of God. That cloud, the presence of God, is in you. Again, this is what God wants to get across today. He is with you. He is showing up all over the place. God is proving His reality and confirming His goodness and confirming Himself to you on a daily basis. You are the greatest proof of the reality of God. Even here in 1 Corinthians, we're about to see how Paul talks to us about the gifts of the Spirit. These are a variety of effects, a variety of powers, a variety of gifts that are placed in the church, in the corporate body, so that you can win, so that you have more than you need to beat the devil at every turn. God has given you everything you need for life and godliness. Amen. God has equipped you. God has empowered you. You are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. God has set these gifts, these powers, His Spirit in the church, because He's right here with us, and He knows we need them. He knows we're going through battles. He knows we're going through attacks of the enemy in the area of sickness or finances or confusion or depression. And here we see, again, the nature of God saying, I'm right there with you. I'm right there in the middle of the congregation. I'm empowering them. I'm equipping them. We see this God getting involved and expressing Himself whenever the body of Christ needs Him. You see, we should be able to go to church and you need God, He's there. But you also should not have to go to church because you are the body, you're the temple, and if you need God out there, He's there. This is the witness, this is the testimony. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, we see Paul say, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols." The King James says dumb idols, and yes, they were dumb idols. But the word mute there, I think, is very interesting because it's like God is differentiating Himself from other religions. He's saying, I am not like other beliefs or religions. I am not like those idols where you just serve and sacrifice and give and they don't talk back. They don't get involved. They don't show care. They don't put their power. They don't put their sweat and their blood into your life. But I do. I am not like those mute idols. I'm speaking to you every day. I'm reaching out. I'm communicating. My fingerprints are on your life. And I'm not just speaking. I'm demonstrating how I love you. I'm empowering you. You see the nature of God in this expression of the gifts of the Spirit. He's defining Himself. I am not like those stagnant, dry, lifeless idols. I am living and I am active and I am in the middle of your business and in the middle of your life. Really, the relationship of God in the life of the believer is testimony of itself. I mean, it stands on its own. In the life of the believer, the God factor in our lives. And you can see it every single day of our lives. Amen? We'll continue to move down this line of thinking. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one speaking by the Spirit of God. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, therefore, there are varieties of gifts, not just one, but God's put a variety, a bunch of gifts, but the same Spirit in the church. There's a variety of ministries in the same Lord, a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, or the profit of all of us, the increase of our lives. God is saying, look, I've put ministries, I've put powers, I've put effects, I've put all these gifts, and I'm doing it for you to win. I'm here, I'm not aloof, I'm not distant, I'm active, I'm all around. It's not supposed to be hard to get a hold of me, it's not supposed to be hard to get a miracle, it's not supposed to be hard to see a healing or a deliverance or a freedom or whatever you need. I'm involved, I'm real, this isn't theology, this is reality, I knew you needed me. That's why I brought Jesus, so there'd be no excuse of why I couldn't be in your life. I am there when you need me. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the one Spirit, to another the effectings of miracles, another prophecy, which we'll get to a little later, and to another distinguishing of spirits, another various kinds of tongues or languages, to another the interpretation of those tongues and languages. But it's all the same Spirit. It's all God working these things, distributing them to each one as He wills. And again, it's for our benefit, for the profit of all. Now I'm going to let you eat the chocolate, but I've got some directions for you. I want you to eat the white chocolate first, and I only want you to eat half of it. I'm warning you, it's rich. If you do both of these at the same time, you will pass out. Okay, there's a warning label. I'm just kidding. I want you to eat half the white chocolate, please. And when you're finished with that, I want you to eat half of the dark chocolate. And we're going to talk about it here in just a minute. The presence of God should be in and among his people at all times. God's reality, God's goodness, God's power, God's ability, God's fingerprints should be there. Amen? Can I get an amen for that? We should be able, and the world should be able, to taste and see in the life of a believer and in the church when we gather, they should be able to taste and see the realities of God, the goodness of God. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, here's what I want to let you know about the white chocolate and the dark chocolate. The white chocolate actually has no chocolate in it whatsoever. It has cocoa butter, but it does not have real chocolate in it. But then when you taste the chocolate and the dark chocolate, you immediately get the sense there's chocolate there. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. I got a good amen on that one, absolutely. You say, well, what's the picture? What's the illustration? Here's what I'm trying to get at. Just because something calls itself church doesn't make it church unless the chocolate's in there. Does that make sense? Unless the presence of God is in there. Unless the fingerprints of God is in there. You know, just because someone calls themselves a Christian doesn't mean it's the type of Christianity that Jesus paid for and died for. If God's fingerprints on all over their life, if he's not involved or allowed to be involved in their life, if he's not allowed to speak to them, allowed to engage with them, just because they call it chocolate doesn't make it chocolate. Does that make sense? And if there's church and people gather, but they won't let God move, they won't let God speak, they won't let God talk, they won't let God interrupt things, that's not church. You can call it church all you want, but it's not, because church is God's in the midst. You can taste and see. People should be able to come and take a bite out of church and taste the chocolate. Have an encounter with God. He's not supposed to be hard to find. Amen. It should hit you immediately. Like God is in that place. God is in that place. And the reason I bring that up, and I believe there's churches all over the world that are very similar to that, where God is in that place. But I warn you and I challenge you, when you're listening to people on television or you visit places and stuff, look for the chocolate, everybody. Look for the presence of God. Look for the encounters with God. Look for the God fingerprints on the lives of the individuals and the people, because that's what it's all about. We're not here just talking stories and self-help. We're here talking about the reality of God, and God's will is to be right involved in the lives of the individuals and involved in the services and the churches. It's only God that can save a human soul. It's only God that can bring a captive out of bondage and bring him into marvelous light. And the chocolate, God, the reality of God, the encounters with God must be easy and accessible, because that's God's will for his body and for his individuals. Amen? Amen. That's the kind of Christianity we preach. It's not, let's go make it hard to find God. You've got to jump through this hoop and this hoop and this hoop, but it's you call and I'm there. That's why we serve him. That's why we respond to him. That's why we love him. Let me talk to you a little bit about encountering God. What do they look like? You know, sometimes I think we don't see all the times that God is interrupting and invading our lives. We don't see all the encounters that we have on a consistent basis. And I want you to understand that a God sighting, a God encounter, the presence of God showing up, this is not rare. It's common. And it should be common. Not taken common, not taken with like disrespect, but I'm telling you, it's the norm. God being on the scene, God speaking, God moving, God talking, God touching, God setting free. It's everywhere because he's real. If he wasn't real, it would be rare. But because he's real and he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, and it's his nature. He wants involvement. That's why he died for us, was for involvement in our lives. So some things that we can look at and remember that they are encounters with God. The first one I want to bring up is the idea of salvation, when people get saved. Every week when we see people give their heart to Jesus, you are watching a miracle. You are watching a God encounter. What that person couldn't do on their own to set their life free and to change them, in a 30-second prayer, God can take a murderer and make him a man of God. God can take a bitter, evil, wicked mind and turn them into a compassionate, loving, kind, self-sacrificing individual for the rest of their life. You understand? In a 30-second prayer, God can transform. We see that every week. You know, we say, oh, God sightings, they're so rare. They're not rare. They're all the time. And we see those are miracles, whether or not we appreciate them or not. Those are miracles that are happening. What psychology couldn't do for them, what they couldn't do in self-help, literally in a quick moment because they're calling out to a real God. It's not just this because they said some magic words. It's because a real God answered, a real God transformed them in a real way. He really touched them. They are really set free. You don't add religion to your life. You encounter God and He changes your life. Are you understanding? It's different. It's different. Healings. We see healings all the time. And this isn't just this church. Praise God. The world sees healings all the time. Missionaries stretching their hands out. We see healings in the church, and we see healings through your hands outside the church. I love the testimonies of people praying for their neighbors and coworkers and their children, saying, my kid was sick, and I prayed for them, and God set them free. And we hear about healings all the time. In church, every time we gather almost, we hear about somebody that God is healing of cancer, that God's opened their ear, healed their leg, healed some lung, healed their esophagus. I mean, even today, I got another testimony that God opened up somebody's esophagus in the middle of worship, that they haven't been able to eat for like months. They throw up every time they eat, and that for the last 4 or 5 weeks, they've eaten anything they want, and God is totally... So he waited like 5 weeks to tell me, and God has totally healed her. I'm telling you, it just happens all the time. But you know what? It should. For far too long, we think miracles and healings are the rarity, but that tells me then God isn't around, because when God is around, things happen, and that's the church. That's the chocolate. God should be around. Amen? Like, people should be able to come in and God do things that no one could do, but that God was there. That's what the body of Christ should look like. That's what your life should look like. And it does. I'm about to show you it really does. But healings are prevalent. They abound. Miracles. Miracles of provision. Financial breakthrough and provision. I can't tell you how many times you hear stories of people who are like, I didn't have the money for this. And all of a sudden something happened, or someone swooped in, or I got the raise, or I got the promotion, or something happened where the money went further. Like the Israelites, where the shoes didn't wear out and all this stuff. It's like the car went farther than it was supposed to go. The gas lasts longer than it was supposed to last. Miracles. These are God sightings. These are God encounters. This is us seeing God living and active in our lives. And it should be that way, because you are a person that has a God that's literally hanging out in your life. You tell me the supernatural shouldn't be the norm. It's the norm. Amen. This is the way life is. This is the benefit of having relationship with God. You're not on your own. You're not just studying about a dumb idol. You're living with God. I praise God that we don't worship an empty tomb. We worship a risen Savior. Amen? And He's alive and active in your life. You know, things like deliverances. We see deliverances on a consistent basis. Well, what's a deliverance? It's a freedom. It's people who are bound to depression or paranoia, anxiety, panic, addiction, alcoholism, drug abuse, sexual problems. They're bound to the past. They can't get forward. They can't get ahead. And man, they've gone through all kinds of stuff, crying out for all kinds of people to help them. And all of a sudden, in steps Jesus. And it's like a cloud gets lifted off their life. It's like chains fall to the ground. It's like for the first time they can see, for the first time they can breathe. And it happens because Jesus touches their life. Do you understand? Every time the sun sets someone free again, we see a God sighting. We see another involvement and more fingerprints of God, more God encounters. And their lives are changed forevermore. Those are all testimonies of God in our lives. Things like dreams and visions. People say, what's the difference between a dream and a vision? Well, one you're asleep, one you're awake. Deep theology. Thank you very much, everybody. But you know, God involving Himself in your life. How many times maybe you've gone to bed at night and you were in turmoil about something, or you had questions about the business or about the family, and you have this dream, and in that dream, God begins to remind you of something. God brings someone back into your point of view that maybe you forgot over the last 5 years, and you remember, and you wake up and you're like, I need to connect with that person. Or God begins to put the pieces together while you're dreaming, or when you're walking or driving and you're doing something and you're awake, and all of a sudden your mind is transported somewhere else, and God begins to speak to you about your future. God begins to speak to you about your children, gives you insight into their lives, things you should be praying for, things you didn't know, but things that you know to be true. God begins to get involved. I love the involvement of God in the life of the believer. Dreams and visions, all these things, they're set in the church, and they're just stuff that we sometimes take for granted, but that God is literally everywhere. When I sleep, when I wake, when I'm sick, when I need a healing, when I need a provision, when I need a miracle, He's there all the time. He said He'll never leave you or forsake you. Do you think He was lying? He's there. Amen. He's there. You know, we have God encounters. Sorry, I'm going fast because I enjoy what I'm talking about. We have God encounters when we hear people teach the Bible under the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Sometimes we think, oh, we're just hearing lessons, but I want you to understand the encounter that you're having with God. I mean, how many of us have walked into a service before and we're like, that preacher has been looking in our window because he's preaching exactly what my wife and I or what I needed. I get that all the time out in the lobby. Pastor, have you been looking in my window? No, that would make me creepy. But I can tell you how many times I go out there and people are like, Pastor, that sermon was just for me. God spoke, you did all that just for me. And I'm like, absolutely, absolutely, it was just for you. And then I meet someone else 2 seconds later, Pastor, that was just for me. And I don't tell them that the other person said the same thing. And I'm like, absolutely, it was absolutely just for you. And you know what? It was. It was because the anointed preaching of the Word of God is God knows what you need in the season that you're in. And one word from God can give you the encouragement, the revelation, the knowledge, the faith you need to break through. It's an encounter with God. It's not just a lesson or a teaching. My goodness, who needs more of that? But yet the anointed communication of the Word, those are encounters. You are changed. Nobody even laid their hand on you, yet the depression left, yet the bondage left. You have the light that you needed, and nobody even talked to you except God. I mean, we need to see that when Jesus was preaching over and over again in Jerusalem, they would say things like, our hearts burned within us while Jesus was speaking. Well, it's because they were having an encounter with God just during the teaching, and they were being changed on the inside. People would say, Jesus speaks differently than others. He speaks like one with authority, not like the Pharisees. They just preached content. But Jesus, when he spoke, we were experiencing the words as they were penetrating our hearts and our minds. We were being transformed while we sat and heard the word. That's why I always want you to come to church with an expectation to be transformed by those messages, not just check in. And it's not just me. This isn't, you know, in particular to me, this is any spirit-filled, faithful preacher that'll listen. Every class you go to that has a leader that'll listen and preach under that effect of the Holy Spirit, you are being changed, transformed. Those are encounters with God. They're encounters with God. There was one story. I mean, it's amazing what God can do in an hour and a half church service. I remember one night, I believe it was a Saturday night, one of our staff members had a friend, a couple, that had come, and they were in a bad place. They were in the military, overseas. Their marriage was deteriorating rapidly. They had decided divorce. That's the road we're taking. They came back because his mother had passed away, which put him into a deeper depression. And then within this short period of time, the day before church, he had attempted to take his own life, which then continued to push the wife away. He was getting worse. This staff member said, would you go to church with me and let's see if God can do anything? And both of them were like, no. She said, he'll never go. And he said, only if God has a writing on the wall for me will I ever believe. And they ended up coming, which, by the way, it's not uncommon for me to hear this story of people who the night before they come to church tried to take their life, but God stopped them. And they end up coming to church the next day and hearing the truth and hearing and having an encounter with God during that message. And during the message, I give the altar call like we normally do at the end. And then, by the way, they each sat on different sides of the staff pastor because they didn't want to sit next to each other. And so the staff pastor sat in the middle. I give the altar call, barely get out of my mouth, raise your hand if you want Jesus. Both of them, without looking at each other, put their hands up in the air and they both give their heart to Jesus. Just by hearing a sermon, God set two angry, hurt people free. And they got a new beginning. And then the Lord had them come down, and they came down to our altar ministry. And in our altar ministry, we were having prophetic ministry, which we will have at the end of service today. And in that prophetic ministry, the Lord began to speak into the life of this man, began to talk to him about where he was, what he'd been involved with, what God's plan was for his life. Literally, like he said, God would have to have the writing on the wall, and God literally wrote it all on the wall. And he ended up coming to Christ, being totally set free. Their marriage was totally restored that night, and since they have now come back together, they have a healthy marriage. It's been months now. They're still having a happy, healthy marriage, and they were only in town. Listen to this. They were only in town for one day, and God had an hour and a half to work with them, and in that hour and a half, God transformed their life and their future and their destiny and their children's lives forever. Amen. what we do when we gather. That's why it's so important that you come and you gather and you come and you worship and you have faith in the room and there's love going on in the place. You have no idea the stories of the people that are sitting next to you and they are encountering God. And it may be the biggest emergency. You have no idea what's happening. But in that preaching of the word or in that worship going on, God is meeting them. God is reminding them that he's real and that he's listening. And all of a sudden, hope is coming where there was once hopelessness. They are having an encounter with God. Powerful. We can never forget that the preaching of the word is an encounter with God. Like I said, the prophetic teams and the prophetic ministries that we see, we sometimes take it for granted that we have this available to us, yet it was set in the church to profit us, to increase your life. You know, people think, well, why would I need someone else to pray for me and hear God for me? We all can hear God as believers. Praise God for that. But sometimes having someone else pray for us and God confirms something that was already being spoken to your heart goes a long way. Or sometimes just being reminded of some things that we forgot in the middle of our crisis, God brings it back to our attention and says, remember this? And you're like, only God would know that. And God's saying, I do know that. It's me talking. Remember this? Or sometimes God, through another perspective or person praying for you, helps point out a new way of thinking because you were stuck in a rut, and God, through a living word telling you something, helps you get out of that rut and gives you a new way of looking at things, and it sets you free. God knows what he's doing when he sets his gifts in the church. Amen. And all of it points to the same thing. God is real, and he wants involvement, and he shouldn't be hard to find. Amen. You should be able to taste the chocolate as a believer when you need it, or in church when you need it. You know, I think about the peace of God. Sometimes we don't even realize, think about that, but the peace and the presence of God that passes understanding. You can be in a hospital room. You could be praying and sitting there next to your loved one who's in the bed, and it's a tragic moment. Something difficult's going on, but you just whisper Jesus, or you just sing a little chorus, and all of a sudden it's like the room fills up with heaven itself. Those are encounters. Those are God saying, I'm right here. It's like the Old Testament where you could poke your head out the tent. Yep, God's still there. You're in the middle of that crisis. You just say, Jesus, boom. The presence of God just hits you. You know, he was always there on the inside. He's never leaves you, forsake you. But all you say in that moment, you're just like, Jesus. And he pops on the outside saying, I'm still here. I told you I wouldn't leave you. I'm telling you, encountering God is the life of the believer. It's just the way we live. God is ever. You could be in your car driving to work and you start singing a hymn and your car fills up. I've gotten a speeding ticket because I was enjoying the presence of God. And I'm serious. I'm serious. And it wasn't the last speeding ticket. Yes, I've confessed. I've had more than one. But I was caught up in the presence of God. I was like, oh, I just love you, Jesus. And I was totally lost paying attention to what I was doing. Anyways. I let out more than I was going to on that one. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. How many times you didn't know what to do and you said, God, I need answers. And in your spirit, you knew what to do. In your prayer time, some things started coming together. Someone gave you the word that you needed. Someone shared some advice and wisdom in the proper season. And you could fix everything that was so hard to fix. And that's God showing up, bringing a friend, bringing counsel, speaking to your spirit. God giving you the insight you need, maybe on the radio or in your Bible or at church. And I'm telling you, God is communicating. We encounter God way more than we ever understand and imagine. We need to start paying attention. God is everywhere. Let me ask you this. I'm going to do a little survey here for a second. How many of you have ever experienced a personal, physical healing in your life? Would you please raise your hand? Something that was broken or sick that you, I'm not talking about like I had a sniffle and it went away. I'm saying you had a healing. God healed you. Raise your hand. Keep it up. Please keep it up. How many of you would say that you had a financial crisis and God did some sort of financial miracle for you? Would you put up your hands? And if you have two hands, then put up both if it's you again. Okay. If you have healing and financial breakthrough. Great. Keep them up. Please keep them up. God will give you the strength to fulfill this illustration. Okay. How many of you would say that you had some sort of bondage, some sort of fear, anxiety, addiction, and God set you free from that? Would you stick up a foot or a leg or your other hand? Amen. Amen. How many of you would say that there was a time that you were underneath the teaching of the word and the word came in due season and just did a miracle in your life and faith, understanding? Would you put up whatever else you got left? Anybody else? All right. Now, everyone that has something sticking up in the air, would you all stand to your feet, please? All right, so anyway, look around you and see God is active. It is not rare. He is alive. You are the proof that God is real. We're not talking about one person on a mountain somewhere, one person in a cave somewhere. Every one of us can say, God is real. God is real. I'm the proof. I'm the testimony. His fingerprints are all over my life. Amen. Look at that. It should look like this. You can taste the chocolate in your lives. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Wasn't that a powerful illustration? Think about that. Look, that's the way church should look, man. It's not like, well, we read about it, but we never see it. You could see it everywhere. And you know what? In every service I preached this weekend, almost the entire crowd stood up. That tells me that God is good. God is active. God is involved. God is real. It's not hard. It's not rare. It's Him. It's Him. Amen? Our prophetic teams are going to be getting ready here in just a second, but I want to share with you a closing illustration, a story about an encounter I had with God. That's kind of meaningful for me right now because it involves my grandmother. This last weekend, my grandmother passed away. She's 97 years old, would have been 98 next month. Amen. She was, for our family, one of those like patriarchs. You know, she like brought us to Christ. She brought us to church, prayed us through so much stuff. It was in her little Assembly of God church that we all kind of rededicated our lives as a family, that we got filled with the Holy Spirit. I know I got filled with the Holy Spirit in this little Assembly of God church. The call of God into ministry was in my life at that little Assembly of God church. I mean, my grandma, for us as grandkids, we have such a high esteem and regard for our grandmother. She was just that champion of faith for us. You know, she was single most of her life. She was married and some stuff happened with her husband and she had to take the kids and start a new life in California, and she raised them on her own in some difficult times throughout history. Obviously, being 97, you know the journey there. There were some tough points. But yet throughout her life, when she gave her life to Christ and brought her kids to Christ, God was her covering. God always was there. And we recorded, my dad was telling me that the grandkids and kids gathered and they started writing down some of the things, and they recorded over 68 miracles that God had done in her life and throughout her life. This should not be rare. It's the life of the believer. It's the life of the believer. Amen. It's not hard. God is real. He's involved. I mean, all kinds of miracles that God would do. I mean, our grandmother, she taught us about praying and having times with the Lord. I mean, she would have to pray in the morning and she wouldn't let us watch TV till she was done praying. And so we would lay there like, come on. Like, what else do you have to say to Him? He knows it all. Can we be done? But yet we had to sit there and watch her pray until she was finished. And that was great. Good for us to do. She couldn't cook to save her life. I'm sorry. Grandma loved Jesus, but she needed help in the cooking department. Absolutely. Grandma needed help cooking. But this particular story has to do with the time. My dad said Grandma was the kind of lady that whenever there was prayer at church, she was there. If hands are being laid, if on people, if people were offering ministry or prayer, Grandma was there. Didn't even matter if anything was wrong with her. She just wanted to get into that place of, you know, the anointing and the presence of God. And I think we could do with more of that in this generation. You know, this hunger to say, you know what, something doesn't have to be wrong for me wanting just to get touched by God again or refreshed, or there's just this desire to be around the move of the Spirit of God. And that was my grandma. She was that way. At one time, there was a revival going on in her church, and an evangelist was there giving some prophetic ministry, some prophetic words. She came up, and the evangelist looked at her and said, I see you rocking a baby in the middle of the night, praying for this child. Something's going on with this child and their health, and I see this happening. And my grandma at that time said, well, the prophet must have missed it or something, because there's no babies in my life. Kids are grown, grandkids are older. And so she just kind of set it to the side. Well, about a year or so later, I was born. And then I was born, my parents tell me, I was born with a deformity. My right hip and leg was not formed. It was missing muscle, possibly bone. They hadn't gone through all the x-rays, but they said there was a massive hole in my hip, in my leg. You could put your hand in it. And the doctors knew it. My parents knew it. Everyone knew it. And the doctor said, we can do surgery on him. when he gets older, but he will be a cripple. And my grandma, in the middle of the night one night, that vision came to pass. She was rocking me, and she was praying in the Spirit over me. And over the next 2 or 3 days, that hole on its own filled itself out with whatever was missing, bone, muscle, whatever it was. And I've always had perfect legs, everybody. Thank you very much. Yes. There you go. What I want you to see isn't my perfect hips, okay? What I want you to see is that my grandma was covered by Jesus. She didn't have a husband, but she had Jesus, okay? She was a believer. You're a believer. God is frequently in your life. He is everywhere if you choose to see him. He is not hard to find. You are the proof. You are the living epistles, Paul says. You are the living stories. God is real. And I hope today, even when you leave, that you start thinking about times that God showed up here, God showed up here, God showed up here, God showed up here. And we realize that what a privilege we have that God is so active in our lives. Isn't that awesome? God is real, not because he's academically real, historically real, theologically real. God's real because he's real. And he's showing up, showing himself real on a daily basis. I'm going to end this service a little different. If you guys would all stand, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive some prophetic ministry. I want to explain that to you. If I could have the prophetic teams begin to prepare down here in the front, kind of leave this center space open if you would, please. But if the teams would begin to prepare off to the sides, let me explain that to you. What is prophetic ministry? Prophetic ministry is basically this: God speaking through his children, confirming his word. The Bible says that the prophetic ministry involves edification, exhortation, and comfort, that God has something to add, to encourage, to point out, to enhance, to help you bring focus, that God is a speaking God. I don't know if you've gotten this or not, but the Bible says in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. God has something to say to us. Again, it goes back to this old way of thinking that God may every once in a while have something to say to you. Here's the truth. If you're listening, God will talk to you. God's a speaking God. And he uses gifts. I read it to you in 1 Corinthians 12 about gifts of prophecy. Let me read you another one in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 about the idea of prophecy. So you see that speaking in tongues is a sign not for believers but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for the benefit of believers. What's about to take place is for your benefit. An encouraging word, an insightful word, something to give you direction, something to comes with it, comes power and anointing that comes with that word. It's for your benefit. Even so, if unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your church meetings and they hear everyone speaking in an unknown language, they'll think you're all just crazy. But if all of you are prophesying and unbelievers or people who don't understand these things come into your meetings, they're going to be convicted of sin. Judged by what you say, as they listen, their secret thoughts will be exposed. See, God is talking to them on the inside, watching and being a part of this process that we're about to do. And they will fall on their knees and they will worship God, declaring, God is truly here among you. I would like to give you the Kevin interpretation of that. They will fall on their knees, declaring, I found the chocolate. I taste the presence of God. God is real. It's not just called something, it is something. It's not just called the church. It is the church. Amen? It's called the body of Christ, and Christ is right there among them. These workers here in themselves, they're just volunteers, and I love that they're volunteers. And I love that we don't have just one person around here that has the hot hand of prophecy, that God uses his people to speak to us. And it's not about them. I mean, truthfully, God can use a child to speak to you in due season. What are they? These are individuals that have basically allowed us to mentor them, allowed us to speak into their lives, that have spent considerable amount of time learning how to hear the voice of the Lord. That's all it is. Nothing weird or creepy. They've spent considerable amount of time being trained on what's me and what's God and allowing us to correct them too. And they're here to be servants. They're here to be a blessing to you today. So please don't put your eyes on them. I want you to have your eyes on Jesus and that God has something to tell me. I want you to come down if you'd like. You don't have to. Come down if you'd like and get some prayer. If God has something to say, he'll say it. If God doesn't have anything to say, then you'll still have an amazing prayer and impartation because you've come in faith. Are you understanding that? I encourage you, if you come down, that you, when you're finished, you go back to your seat quickly and write down some of the key things that the Lord might have told you that you can keep it somewhere and go back to it in the later date. kind of like my grandmother, it was 2 years later or so that all these things came to pass. But yet the Lord was already preparing her, letting her know that he was going to be involved. I thank God that even before I was born, God already had a way to take care of me. You know, and so there's things that God may share about you or to you that you may not understand today, but God's getting you ready. You may have a phone that has a recording device that may work even better, and you feel free to use that. With some direction, I'm about to pray here and close in a second. This is a big process, and I want to give you some direction in it. I'm going to close in a word of prayer in a minute, and then you're dismissed. That's the official dismissal. We're going to use these middle rows here as the place to line up to receive ministry. Please don't worry about who the usher points you to. They're just going to point you to the next available person. You don't have any favorites up here. It's not about batting average. Like the last person I went to, they had a good one. I want to go back to them because it's not about them. It's about God, right? And so you just trust that whoever's opens who God has for you. And so we'll make the lines in the center, then you exit out the sides. No rush, though, because we're going to be here. They're going to be here. I love their sacrifice of just being willing to stand here for hours or whatever it takes to minister. And it takes time. Prophetic ministry is a little different than praying for the sick, because we can just go be healed in Jesus' name and it's quick. With prophetic ministry, the Lord may take 2 or 3 minutes with each person, but don't feel bad about that, because if they take that much care with them, they'll take that much care with you too. So when it's your turn, you don't want to be rushed either. You want to know if the Lord has something to say. And so you just wait patiently. You can worship in here and all that. We ask that you keep this room a pretty special place where you don't have all kinds of crazy conversations. You can go outside and have some coffee out there, but let's keep this a place where people can get prophetic ministry, and when they're finished, they can go. In a minute, when I dismiss to start forming lines, which, by the way, you don't have to get in the line right away. You can wait at your seat until the line gets shorter, then you can come into the line. I would ask that those with children, little kids, that they would get in the lines first if you intend on getting ministry, so that they can, and please defer to them as people without kids or older kids, so that they can get their kids to lunch and get their kids to bed and things like that for nap time, and the kids will appreciate that. So we just try to do it in good order and process. But before I open that up for altar ministry, I want to give people an opportunity. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus, you're about to have an encounter with him. I've been talking all day that God wants to be involved. God wants to be a part of your life. And maybe today God brought you here to remind you. He's saying, I'm here seeking to save that which was lost. And you're having a God encounter right now. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that all who will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And today I challenge you, if you are not right with Jesus, call on his name. Get right, and you're about to see a miracle happen in your life. Your nature's going to change. Your heart's going to change. Now, you may have some things you still have to work out, and that's fine. God will get you there. But in a moment, everything on the inside changes. You become a new creature. So can I get you for the next 30 seconds to bow your heads and close your eyes? And I'm going to give that opportunity to anybody in the room that would want it. Say, Pastor Kevin, that's me. I've never given my life to Jesus. Or you say, I've walked away and I want to give my life back to him. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to call you to the front. I'm going to pray for you right at your seat. But if that's you and you want me to pray for you, would you please just slip up a hand right where you are, acknowledging, I want to get right with God. There's a hand right there. Thank you. Another hand there. Thank you. Another hand there. Thank you. Anybody else? Another hand and another hand and another hand. Thank you. Anybody else? I just want to get right with God. I'm sick of running. There's another hand and another hand. Awesome. I'm sick of running. I need an encounter with God. Save my soul. There's another hand there. Awesome. Anybody else today? Anybody else today? There's another hand there. Wonderful. Wonderful. You can celebrate, everybody. That's awesome. Amen. All right, church, can we all pray together right now, and those watching on the internet? We're going to pray with you so you're not praying these words by yourself. This is a moment between you and God. He's listening. All I ask you to do is just genuinely mean the words coming out of your mouth. Say something like this: Dear God, I thank you that you see me just as I am. I know I've sinned and I've walked away from you. I receive Jesus Christ today as my Lord and Savior. I believe that he died for me and that he rose again. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, make me new. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit. Take every part of me now. Be my God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you celebrate that? Amen. That's awesome. I'm about to close, and as I close, if you raised your hand today, you can obviously come down and get some ministry as well. But behind our cameras here, we have a New Beginnings area. For those of you that raised your hand, we have Bibles there. We have wonderful volunteers there in that little kind of cafe-looking area. You can make your way back there when you're done, and someone will be there to pray with you, help you. We just want to be involved with your process if you'll let us be, okay? Let me bless you, dismiss you. The altars will be open. Again, I ask that you let those with small children get in the aisles first. The rest of you just take a second, and then we'll be here. They're not going anywhere, and they're ready to pray as long as it takes to minister to each one. And remember what I said, you're looking to Jesus, not them. God's got something to share with you. You're about to have an encounter with God, and He's going to really, really bless you. Heavenly Father, I pray over this house as you're about to begin to speak and move and touch and free and impart. Lord, I just pray that it's precious. I pray, Lord, for the reality of your presence. I pray, God, that the words that flow confirm, exhort, comfort. Lord, they give direction. They give wonderful insight. And Lord, they're transformational. I thank you for all those things taking place right now in this room. As we go later today and we have lunch and we hang out with our families and friends, I pray that we would see these God moments more and more and more. And Lord, it just causes us to brag on you. It just causes us to worship. It causes us to share. Lord, we thank you that you are so real. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.